Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavalette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
Hey everyone, welcome to our first Holy Cross Coaches Show of the 2018-2019 academic year from the Crossroads Cafe in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm Dick Lutzk. Our producer is Kyle Carter. And our producers on site are Kyle Coulter and Chris Boscherini. And we're happy to have you with us for our first show. We've got a lot to cover tonight. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk men's soccer and women's soccer, all in the course of the next hour with coaches and players from all the teams. And we begin with football. And Holy Cross head football coach Bob Chesney is alongside after game one of the Chesney era on Mount St. James. We're happy to have you with us, coach. You've had a chance to look at the film of the Colgate game on Saturday. What did you see?
I saw a very sloppy first half. You know, I think there's a sort of a feeling out process that I think all new teams go through with new coaching staffs, and I think that that was certainly, you know, on display for that first half. But then come back to the second half, and I saw, you know, a great amount of teamwork. I saw a great amount of toughness. I saw a great amount of, you know, really camaraderie and the ability to build one another up and in some adverse situations and never point the finger and just such a change and, you know, from things we saw during camp, you know, that we felt like we made a change it during the middle of camp, but to see it all work that way and come to fruition in the second half was great. Problem was, it was the second half. We needed a little more in the first half.
Two turnovers early in the game put you down, two touchdowns. Takes you out of your game plan a little bit, does it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you all of a sudden start playing from that far behind. It's not from behind by a little bit. It's that far behind. And I think, you know, just not an ideal situation to be in. And again, against a very, very good football team that returned 9 on offense and 9 on defense or whatever it might have been. And I think, you know, I felt like we held our own in the second half, but we just got knocked off track.
What did the players learn from the turnovers? Emmett Clifford tried to get a little bit more out of a situation and unfortunately was hit and coughed up the ball. And the same thing with Miles Alexander, made a great run. And then at the end of the run, tried an extra yard and the ball pops out. What do they learn from that?
Well, you don't mind that extra yard with Miles, right? Because it's, you know, it's that fight and it's what you hope you're going to have in the end. And he's trying to spin and he just gets hit on the side a little bit. That one you expect. You just want that high and tight. The one with Emmett just is one that he's, you know, really never done before. He went to a read that really didn't exist at that moment, and it cost us. So I think that, you know, there's not only that, not those two guys. There's so many more, you know, that you could look at and say that, yeah, I have a pretty good feeling and hope that we can clean up, you know, from week one to week two. You almost wish you had a scrimmage. You know, you almost wish that at this level you had a scrimmage that you could play against outside competition where there was a little bit more on the line and then, you know, test yourself a little bit more so that you can make that improvement before it starts counting in your win-loss record. But, you know, you don't have that opportunity, and I think that's on us as coaches. We got to do a better job of getting them ready.
You know, statistically, you look at the game, we were down 24 to nothing at the half. But then you look at the statistics, and it shows just how evenly we played them the rest of the way. First downs, we had two more than they did. We had 17, they had 15. Rushing yardage, 169 for us, 91 for them. They outpassed us 194 to 113. But total offense, they only beat us by 3 yards, 285 to 282. And time of possession, we were getting murdered in the first half.
Murdered.
But we came back to get close with 34 minutes to them, 25 minutes to us. And you look at the stat sheet, it's kind of deceptive, because it looks close, and we made it close in the second half, but it showed we can play with them.
It did show that, and I think the first half it certainly wasn't close, but then I think you flipped the script, and in the second half it wasn't close the opposite way. You know, so I think that, you know, we felt like by the end of that game, you know, if we could have got it to overtime, we felt pretty strongly that we would have a nice chance. We felt like we were in shape. I know all our kids, when that game was over, could have played another quarter if they had to. And I think that's something that, you know, is certainly a testament to Coach Grotzky and our strength and conditioning, Coach Ollie, our strength and conditioning staff, and also in just the way we practice and the way we try to do things.
All right, let's talk about the positives and the negatives. Let's go on both sides of the ball. What did you see that you liked on offense? What did you see that concerned you from the offensive side?
Well, I think that the offensive line stood out. You know, they definitely stood out in the run game when you got into the third and fourth quarter. You know, that we were certainly strong and certainly conditioned. You know, there was no doubt about it. We had the ball on the, I think, the 15-yard line. We got a face mask penalty after our first down, which put us at the 7, and we ran power 3 times in a row until we put it in the end zone. And we weren't going to call another play. We knew we were getting push, and we knew that it was just what we were going to do.
No hesitation at all on that fourth down play, huh?
None whatsoever. So I think that was the thing for us, is that we just felt like we had them breaking at that moment. And I think on a longer drive that often happens. We didn't sub out, so they couldn't really sub out, and it was one of the, they were out of timeout, so it was one of those things that we just had to keep pushing, and I thought we did a nice job of that. I felt like, again, the poise, Emmett to come back, you know, from that first half and do what he did in the second was great. And I thought we ran the ball really well. There's just, we dropped a couple balls, ran a couple wrong routes, missed a couple things, in the skill set in the receiver and at some other places like that. But, at the same time, the run game I thought was pretty sound. Defensively, just we stopped the run. I think that's the first time they were held to 90 or under 100 yards since, 2000 and something, 9 or 10 or whatever that was. And that just speaks volumes of those guys up front. And then the negatives are that you gave up a 3rd and 10 and you gave up a 4th and 9. And those are two that are just, you can't give up if you want to win a football game.
Three controversial plays in the game come to mind. One, a third and short that they had. Or was it a 4th and short? 4th and short that they needed a yard. Didn't look like, from the vantage point that we had, that they made a yard. We thought maybe they might have lost a yard. The officials gave them a spot and gave them a first down. The other one was a pass that was caught on the near sideline at the end of the game. It gave them a first down, a key play. And the other one was that punt that bounced, and mm-hmm. Richie DiNicola picked it up and started to run, but he couldn't run because it was blown dead.
That's right.
Let's start backwards. What was the issue on that play?
On the punt?
Yeah.
On the punt, I guess now there's a new rule that it's got to be a single motion for a fair catch. If you do a couple different motions, even pointing at the ball on the ground, pointing once you can do, but pointing twice you can't do for some reason. So that was the explanation that we had gotten from it. So that's, I guess, a new rule that I had not heard until that moment. And I don't know if it's the right call or not. We have the tape submitted for review. The other two, it just kind of are what they are. I think you... It's hard. Being an official is not easy, right? And I think that the more we pick on those guys, the less of them they'll be, and eventually we'll be in trouble, right? So I think the thing is that they want to do their best. I know they want to do their best. There's no question about it. But I think that there was just, two calls that mechanically maybe they just got a little bit wrong, and their eyes in the wrong place. And I think in the end ended up hurting us. But we shouldn't have been in that situation anyway.
What was the mood like in the locker room at halftime, down 24-0?
It wasn't bad. That's what I thought. You're down that number. It wasn't, and no one was defeated. No one was defeated. No one felt like we couldn't do it. I think we just had to get out there and get going again. You almost wish there was a shorter halftime in a way. We talked through a couple things that we needed to talk through, but in the end, I think we felt good. We were, I think, offensively, we had not played a lot of reps up to that point in time, right? So we only had the ball for whatever it was, I think 10 minutes.
Something like that.
It for 20. So, that was kind of the key. It's like, we're just in a little bit of a boxing match, and we didn't throw a lot of punches. We played a little more defense in the first half, and we were able to attack a little bit more in the second.
Wide receiver was thought to be one of the strong points of the team going into the season. The wideouts didn't get a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. in the game against Colgate. Were they covered so well that they went to the other options, or was it part of the plan?
No. I think that just the run game got rolling, and as the run game got rolling, it was something that we just felt, we could stay behind, and not put ourselves in any tough spots, with interceptions or with anything else. We had thrown, I think, interception up to that point, fumbled the ball, maybe two interceptions or whatever it might have been at that point. And I think it was a matter of if we can just keep this on the ground and keep doing what we're doing. And the receivers were blocking so well on the perimeter, and just it became a very different game that we hadn't expected. And, it was what the moment called for. So I think it's always about that. We're going to take what they're giving us. We're going to try to attack where they're weak, and that's what presented itself at that moment.
Did you contemplate any changes at halftime?
No, I don't think so. I think that as far as any changes, I think we just need to settle down. I think that was the big thing for us. We have not made any personnel decisions, just a rash personnel decision. We made them based on, a full month together. We've been here since August 2nd. So, a 30-minute half isn't going to have us, just making a million changes of things that we thought we saw from a million different positions at that point in time. It was a matter of staying the course, you know, again, building each other up, getting to plays that we feel we could be successful and execute, and again, just stay the course.
You know, I've been in this crazy business for over 40 years, and all that time, I've tried to get coaches to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
And with very little success, I might add.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They want to deflect all the attention to the team and the
right.
players, and I understand that. But yeah. I'm going to try again.
Yeah.
I'm going to try again.
Yeah.
As you were standing out on Andy Currer Stadium on the sidelines before the kickoff, did you have a chance to reflect to yourself of where you were at that particular time and what it meant to you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, for me, you know, but it's not cliche. It's true. It's not about me. You know, I was happy.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
No, but I was happy because I had some family there. My grandfather's 93 years old, and you know he was there. Drove up from Pennsylvania. I had some other my uncle from North Carolina there. So we had some family there, which I thought was pretty cool. But at the same time, we're about to go into battle. You know, we have a mission at hand, and it really doesn't involve any one person at all. You know, so.
But did you feel the emotion?
Yeah, I think you always do. I will always before every game, and I will always during every game. I think that's what makes, you know, this sport just so special, and it's something that, like, I haven't had a Saturday or a Friday in the fall without football since I was born, because my father was a longtime high school football coach. It just wasn't – I haven't had one yet, and I still get the same emotions when I was on the little Coltmont Cougars back when I was, you know, 6 years old. I still feel the same way.
We're going to bring Blaze Bell on for the second segment in just a couple of minutes, but one thing I did want to do, and I've got them all printed out here, is I wanted to have you – we haven't done this yet – is give me a little background, 30 seconds,
yeah.
the abridged version – on all of your assistants. I'll call out a name, their position. Tell me a little bit about them. Scott James is the defensive coordinator.
Something about me, relationship?
About them.
Yeah, Scott just had a little baby boy, you know, 2 years ago, an unbelievable man, unbelievable father, husband, and a great leader, a guy that I started coaching with at Norwich University, and just, you know, just a very good person.
Defensive coordinator. What goes into the making of a good defensive coordinator?
I think it's trying to see everything, trying to feel what the offense is trying to do, not just defend plays, but defend the why, and try to get inside that quarterback's head when he's on the field, but also the coach's head of why is he lining up that way and why is he calling that. Those are the things I think that the best guys are able to do, realize the why and understand, you know, what that offensive guy is trying to do.
Same question for Patrick Murphy, the offensive coordinator.
So, again, a family man. He has his three, you know, girls at home, and just a phenomenal person that I've got to know and compete against. Actually, every single coach on our defensive staff coached against Coach Murphy, you know, at places he's been. And I think that, you know, one thing that we all know is just just what he does offensively, and it showed up a little bit in the second half, but I think you guys will be surprised when it all clicks.
Anthony Barisi's the secondary coach.
Unbelievable coach, you know, unbelievable person and an unbelievable friend. He's been with me, you know, since we first got to Assumption, very extremely loyal and devoted to these kids you know, just again, a great person.
A lot of Assumption connections as you went through this. Yeah. Drew Cannon is the special teams coordinator and tight ends coach.
Yeah, so Drew, again, a very loyal, you know, great friend, and at the same time, an unbelievable coach in whatever it is that he does. He demands so much from the players, and when you talk about special teams and just see what he does with that, you know, it's nothing short of phenomenal. You know, I think that to last year have Cole Tracy as a All-American kicker and an All-American kick returner, you know, he's doing something right.
And he's now at LSU, is that right?
That's right, yep. Yeah.
Matt Colangelo's your safeties coach.
So Matt Colangelo played for us. You know, so Matt Colangelo played back at Assumption. That's where I first met Matt. And I think a lot of the things that I would like to see from a football player, especially on the defensive side, is what Matt had embodied at that time. And so it was when he was trying to make the move into coaching, it was a no-brainer to bring him with us, full of energy, never has a bad day, and just does a great job communicating.
Adi Confessor is the pass game coordinator, wide receivers coach, one of the three Holy Cross alums.
That's right. Well, Adi, I've known Adi for a while. So when I was down at Salve Regina in Newport, Rhode Island, Adi was at URI, and I had a chance to go over and spend quite a bit of time with him. And I got to know him more on a personal level than a professional level. And then, I obviously, when this had all worked out, you know, he was alum, was just an absolute no-brainer for us.
Record-setting receiver at Holy Cross. Anthony DeMichael, running backs coach, is another Holy Cross alum.
Bleeds purple as much as anybody out there. I think as you walk around this campus and you talk about, you know, Anthony DeMichael, what I love about him is in the first time meeting him when we walked around campus, he knew everybody, and and everybody knew him, and everybody liked him, everybody appreciated him, and that to me, you know, really stood out. I think his passion for the game, his energy, and his love for Holy Cross and his love for these players, you know, is something that is really second to none.
Charlie Noonan's in his fourth year as the defensive line coach at Holy Cross.
Yeah, Charlie, I tried to recruit. He went to Rutgers, but we recruited a couple kids out of St. Joe's Prep when I was at Johns Hopkins University, and Charlie was one of those. We got one of them that came in and was the defensive player of the year in the Centennial Conference, but Charlie, I had then started to personally know with a couple of my friends and the guys that I had coached before with, and I knew just how great of a defensive line coach he was. So when there was an opportunity to come here and him be on staff, that was a guy I did not want to lose.
Another Holy Cross alum who was the center at Holy Cross, the offensive line coach, is Chris Smith.
Yeah, well, Chris Smith, we coached against each other. He was at New Haven, and I thought thought so fondly about that offensive line. They were so tough. They were so physical. And again, another guy that just absolutely bleeds purple. And it just, with his, the son Calvin, he's at almost every practice up to this point in time. And it's just, again, cool to see, and have family around.
The baby was there in Colgate the other day. Yeah. I know that. Brian Veganik is a holdover from the previous staff. He's a linebacker's coach.
So, Brian, I also knew, previously from back in my hometown, he went to Temple. One of the guys that I coach with also did, and he's a guy that, I had the chance to compete against at New Haven. He was one of the guys that, too, when I first got here and talked to the players about what coaches they liked and what coaches they'd like to see stay, that was a name that came out of almost everybody's mouth first and foremost. So excited to be able to work with them.
Before we bring Blaze Bell on, let's talk about the things that need to be done improving from Colgate to get ready for a pushover in Boston College. They should be a real pushover,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. No, so I think what do we have to do? We have to be able to run the football a little bit. We got to be able to protect the football. We can't give it away, and we have to try to start fast here. We got to come out confident, and we got to come out and just, kind of pick up from where we left off at the end of that Colgate game, and just understand that if we execute and handle what we can handle, we should be able to play with just about anybody. Obviously, they're a formidable opponent. There's, just the size, the people on their team, all the things that come along with it. But that's why you play the games, and we're excited for that opportunity.
We only have the UMass game this year to judge Boston College on, but they handled the Minutemen pretty easily. What did you see looking at them?
I saw a very good offensive line, and I saw a very good running back with an excellent quarterback. And defensively, again, not no weak links on. We talked about that with Colgate. Now we should really talk about that, though, about there being no weak links on anywhere on that field. Number one kick returner in the country, kick and punt returner in the country. Their kickoff team, the whole thing is just very, very good. They're clearly in, a ACC team for a reason, and they're a good one, for a reason. And we're excited for the opportunity.
The running back, Dylan's projected to be the player of the year in the ACC. He was the rookie of the year last year as a running back. He must be pretty good.
He's unbelievably good. He committed initially to play linebacker at Michigan, and then I guess they told him at BC that he could carry the ball, and he changed up his commitment from Michigan and as a linebacker to come carry the ball for BC. So you'll watch a Michigan linebacker carry the ball on Saturday.
That's head coach Bob Chesney at Holy Cross. We're going to bring on Blaze Bell in just a minute. We're at the Crossroads Cafe and Pub in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. It's the Holy Cross Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. We'll be back right after this.
We now return to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI with your host, Dick Lutzk.
From Crossroads at the Hogan Center on the campus of Holy Cross in Worcester, I'm Dick Lutzk. We're with the Holy Cross Coaches Show. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight talking Holy Cross sports. We're talking football right now. We'll be talking men's and women's soccer a bit later on. Bob Chesney, the head football coach, is still with us. And we're joined by wide receiver Blaze Bell, the senior from Aurora, Illinois, one of the co-captains of the 2018 Holy Cross football team. Congratulations on that. You must
Thank
be pretty
you.
Happy to hear that when the vote was taken.
Yeah, it was a tremendous honor, when they announced it, because it was pretty much, just a team vote. And when Coach announced it in the team meeting, it was something that I took tremendous pride in. And hopefully, I can live up to it.
I'll ask the same question I asked of of Kyle Brady the other day about being a co-captain. What does it mean to you? What's the role of a co-captain of a football team?
You know, just leading all the time on and off the field. And not just, you know, vocally, but also leading by example. Just trying to do everything I can, you know, to help my teammates, like I said, both on and off the field. Just doing what I have to do, doing everything that I can right. And you know, hopefully just bringing, you know, some guys along.
Coach, tell me about Blaze and his honor, the vote. He and Kyle Brady named co-captains. What have you learned about him in the short time you've had to get to know him?
I think he and Ryan both are, you know, just great examples of just leaders. You know, they to think about what Blaze was able to do, he wasn't with us, you know, through all of the spring. You know, he wasn't with us through the winter and the spring. So, obviously, you know, everybody else on that team, you know, probably has a better chance to influence guys. And when he came back in that short period of time, made that big of an influence that, you know, he and Ryan were both just, you know, it was they were the top two vote getters by far, and I just think it speaks volumes of what he does. Not only says, but to his point, what he does on a day-to-day basis. And I think that some guys lead by example, some guys lead, you know, verbally. He does both, and I think that, you know, that's certainly appreciated.
Our Holy Cross Coaches Show is presented by JMB Financial, and I want to remind you that Holy Cross plays their first home game at Fitton Field on September 15th when they open the home schedule against Yale at 1 o'clock. Get your tickets today by calling the Holy Cross ticket office at 1-844-GO-CROSS or by visiting GoHolyCross.com. But before that game, another road game and a formidable ACC opponent down the road in Boston College. What do you think about playing the Eagles, Blaze?
You know, I'm really excited. I can't wait. It'll be a tremendous experience. You know, someone that used to be our rival back in the day and being, you know, kind of the first team to bring that back is, like I said, a tremendous honor, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
What have you learned about the rivalry? It's been 32 years since we played them, but when I was a kid growing up in Worcester, it was a rivalry. It was Michigan-Ohio State. It was Army-Navy. It was Holy Cross-Boston College. Yeah. It was a great rivalry.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just being in Worcester for the amount of time that I have, it's something that you definitely hear about and learn about. You know, from taking an Uber or something like that, you know, people in Worcester are very passionate about Holy Cross football and the rivalry. You always hear the stories, you know, about Doug Flutie and Gordy Lockbaum and those guys. And we see the pictures, you know, of everyone lined up, you know, the stadium field, everyone lined up on 290 watching from their cars. So, you know, I know the roots run deep, and I'm, like I said, I'm looking forward to bringing it back.
You're a fifth-year senior. You've seen a lot of changes during your time. You came in as a quarterback. You switched to wide receiver. You've got a new coaching staff that started this year. What was the most, I don't know if to say difficult, the most challenging part about transitioning to a new staff?
You know, I guess you could say it was challenging, but it wasn't really that bad. You know, I guess just getting to know each other. You know, both what they expect from us on the field and off the field. And you know, getting to know each other as people is a big thing. And I guess you said it was a challenge. I could see it being a challenge, but it was something. The coaching staff did a great job with the transition. And I guess, you know, everyone on the team, they did a good job of making everyone on the team feel right at home.
Let's talk about the Colgate game for a minute. You fell down 24-0 in the first half. I asked the coach what the mood was like in the locker room at halftime. What did the co-captains do in the locker room to keep everybody's head high?
I mean, just trying to keep everyone positive. You know, we like to say at halftime, you know, that it's 0-0 going into the second half, so there's a total new game. And just playing, you know, to the best of our ability. You know, we in the first half, we got down, kind of hurt ourselves a little bit. You know, just trying to clean up those mistakes at halftime. And remain positive, and I think everyone on the team did a great job of that.
I would think, Coach, that would be a place for the co-captains in a situation like that, down 24-0, coming into the locker room to get together with their teammates and say, let's play football.
No question. And I think at the same time, though, they have their own, you know, job to take care of, you know, within their own position group as well. So I don't know if there was enough time to get to all of their you know, what you would assume to be their responsibilities, because we came back pretty quickly. We only gave them a couple minutes to themselves because we knew a couple things we need to correct pretty quickly, and we went right at it as a team schematically, you know, within a couple minutes. But I know that they were certainly within their own, you know, their own groups, you know, formulating plans and making sure everybody stays positive and doing those things.
You're a fifth-year senior. You're the only fifth-year senior on the team. You're the old man
on the team right now going into the season. And you had the redshirt freshman year because of an injury. You transitioned from quarterback to wide receiver. Tell me about your experience at Holy Cross overall and how it's developed over the course of the 5 years.
You know, it's been a journey, like you said, you know, coming in as a quarterback and then transitioning to receiver my sophomore year. You know, I loved the receiver once I made the switch sophomore year. And then junior year, you know, is when Peter went down. So transitioning back to quarterback, playing there for the season, and then the next year, following year, going back to receiver full-time, that's when I was like, I'm a receiver full-time. I'm not going back to quarterback. And I love that transition. You know, it's been kind of it's been a journey, a good one, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
What is playing a game against Boston College, an FBS school, a power conference school, a team that really is expected to be pretty good this year? Mm-hmm. What does it do to the mindset of your teammates getting ready for this challenge on Saturday at Chestnut Hill?
I mean, I think we're really excited. We're really grateful to have the opportunity to play someone like BC, an ACC team, you know, at their place, a big-time game. You know, like I said, bringing the rivalry back. So I think it's something that we as a team take tremendous pride in, and we're grateful for the opportunity, and we're just looking forward to having a lot of fun on Saturday.
How would you characterize the mood of the team after the loss to Colgate? I've been through many losses, and I've seen teams really down and dejected getting on the bus. I didn't see that getting on the bus after the Colgate game. I thought they felt that they accomplished something in the second half and could build on that. Coach, what did you think?
Well, I agree. I think that, you know, if you go through that game and it the second half is more the same of the first, I think it's just a little, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, just there's not a great foundation to build on at that moment. You know, I think to come out and have the second half that we did begins to put those initial building blocks in place. And it probably makes you look back and go, man, if we just did this in the first half, you know, how much higher could this house be built at this moment? You know, that's what we're doing here. It's a building process. You know, we have to try to take it really, you know, one step at a time, and every opportunity that we have, whether it be in practice or in the game, needs to matter. And I think that's something that's starting to sink in.
Looking down the road, what does playing a game against a team like Boston College, an FBS school with a lot of prestige, if you will, mean to a program like Holy Cross?
So I think for me, you know, and I can just speak from my own experience, I know that in the past as we got into the playoffs and got into two or three or, you know, however many rounds deep, you eventually run into the number one team in the country or the number two team in the country. And I think when you play those teams, it automatically gives you a pretty good measuring stick of where you are not at maybe at that moment, but where you want to go or just how close you actually might be. And I think there's two things that usually happen in that situation. But at least gives you this gauge of what it feels like to be playing the number one or number two team in the country. We're playing up a whole nother level where they have just so much more, you know, technically than probably we could attain at this exact moment. But at the same time, you know, that gives us a sort of an eye on the prize if that's what we want to be. And I think everybody talks about wanting to play at the highest level possible. Here's an opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong that maybe, you know, that some of these guys should be at a higher level, and, you know, and they'll have a chance to prove that on Saturday.
There's a history of great upsets in the rivalry with Holy Cross and Boston College. It wouldn't be the first time that a heavily favored Boston College was beaten by an underdog Holy Cross team, so we can shock the world on Saturday.
That's why you play the game, right?
Yep. Hopefully. Yep.
All right, Blaisdell, thank you very much. Coach Bob Chesney,
thank you.
Good luck on Saturday against the Boston College Eagles. We will continue. We're going to talk soccer in the second half hour of our coaches show. From Crossroads at the Hogan Center on Holy Cross campus in Worcester, I'm Dick Lutz. We continue after this on Sports Radio 1440 and on Facebook Live.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutz on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
We're at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. We continue with our Holy Cross Coaches Show. We're going to be back here again next Tuesday to talk about the Boston College game and the first home game of the football season at Fitton Field against Yale on the 15th. That's Ring of Honor Day, by the way, with two McGovern brothers being honored with their names on the board at Fitton Field on the Saturday the 15th. Now we're going to talk men's soccer. We have head coach Marco Kuhlman and senior Owen Azrak with us to talk for the next 15 minutes about the men's soccer program at Holy Cross. And Coach Kuhlman, I'm cheating a little bit because I was told to ask you about a preseason regimen that you have with your team, getting them in here early and working them through the summer. And it's an unusual program, I'm told, and you get your guys ready to play. Tell me about it.
Well, it's actually the initiative of our senior class this year who ultimately decided that not only coming back early is something that this program needs, but some of them were taking classes and some did research, and they encouraged the rest of the juniors and below to attend sessions over the summer, totally outside of my control.
That's right. It's captain's practice.
Exactly.
I'm aware of that.
There
sure.
You go.
Yeah, I certainly am aware of that. But what is the regimen like, Owen? What do you have them doing?
Well, we work out with our strength and conditioning coach, Shep, and we basically run through a typical technical session. So we have like a lot of touches on the ball, and then we'll do conditioning and we'll lift afterwards. So like we have the guys all together for as many weeks as possible before we start preseason, so we're ready to go.
Did you have them out there in that 90-degree, 100-degree heat?
Yeah, we were outdoors a little bit, yeah. So we were outdoors like half the time, and then we got the air conditioning indoor field a little bit.
That spoils you a little bit with the new indoor facility at the Luth Athletic Complex at the Hart Center with that nice indoor air-conditioned field. Do you get to use that often, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, we've been very fortunate over the course of the winter and spring with inclement weather that we have our early 6 a.m. time. The boys love it.
This is your seventh year at Holy Cross. How did a nice boy from the Netherlands end up coaching soccer in Worcester, Massachusetts? Tell me a little bit about your history.
Well, I came to the States to go to college in Erie, Pennsylvania, at a school called Gannon University, and ultimately ended up coaching there upon graduation to then move to Franklin Pierce University in Ringe, New Hampshire.
You had great success there.
Yeah, we had some fun there, and you know, by way of Boston College, ended up here at this wonderful campus here on Mount St. James at Holy Cross.
7 years and two times to the Patriot League Championship. Not quite with the final ring yet, but getting close a couple of times. They've had the taste of being close. You'd like to get there and get that ring, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a ton of success last year towards the end of the season. We had some great leadership that we're trying to build on. And we're trying to build a program that's successful each and every year, not just being happy to make the tournament, but we're trying to win the Patriot League and then move on in the NCAA tournament as
well.
So
far early in the season, 0-1-1, a 2-1 loss at home to number 16 Fordham and a 1-1 tie just this past Friday night against Siena. Tell me about those two games, Coach.
I think both games we've seen a lot of progress since preseason going into those games, and even from game to game the boys have showed tremendous improvements in areas that we've been focusing on. And I think in both games we kind of felt we came up short, unfortunately. But I think as we move forward and you know, the process is really what it's all about in order to get ready for the Patriot League season, we're well on our way.
What can you build on from those two games? What are the positives that you saw?
Again, I think team cohesiveness, defending from a collective standpoint, attacking patterns started to come into the mix, new players coming into the starting 11 that are starting to get harmonized and really get to understand each other, their strengths and their qualities. But I think overall, the team unity and the attack as well as defending is really the discipline and the motivation behind all the energy that they put out.
Oh, and you were on the team that went to the finals last year. The mantra this season, unfinished business. Compare last season and the impact it has on getting the team ready for this year.
I think the impact of last year's season is that we kind of understand where we can be as a team when we like understand our defensive schemes. And I think that last year was a great building block for us in terms of we saw great examples of leadership from our three senior captains last year. And I think we took that as a senior class this year as a way to build upon it in terms of getting the freshmen up to speed early so they get the speed and the physicality of the college game. And I think it's been great for us to have our preseason time with the freshmen where we can get them acclimated to our system.
Tell me about the state of college soccer. The level of play that you see around the country right now, is it as good as it can be, or can it get better? Or what do you think the future of soccer holds at the collegiate level?
It's an interesting question, because certainly professional soccer sort of dictates the landscape in the United States. You see where you see in basketball and other sports that talented young men either forego their college career and right away jump into the pros, and particularly in basketball. In soccer, the more talented players vacate or you know, move over to countries like Europe and South America. And on the flip side, college soccer for non-U.S. citizens is sort of a second chance beyond a youth career. So There's a lot of international impact and influence. You know, tomorrow we play at URI, who is dominated by a significant number of international players. And the college game is certainly influenced as such by a lot of talented players. Like we call it the global game, the college game has become global as well. So I think for the growth and development of the sport, it presents plenty of opportunity. I think the level has exceeded expectations, and therefore you see now, like in other sports, in college soccer nowadays, you see kids come in for 1 or 2 years, and then they forego their final years to go and join the pros.
Where's the most fertile area for recruiting in the country for high school, prep school soccer to go on to the collegiate level? Is there a particular corner of the nation that's stronger than another?
Well, obviously New England has a strong presence of prep schools and private schools. At the club level, it is sort of all around. Holy Cross, being a Jesuit institution, we utilize that, and we have a lot of success, you know, all over the country. But, you know, we've been in California. Next year's class, we have a significant impact from players in California that are coming abroad, that are coming across to the East Coast.
What does the World Cup coming to the United States mean to the overall impression of soccer to you and your teammates and to everybody involved in the game?
I think it'll be an incredible experience to have that on our home soil. I think it's obviously a fantastic event. That'll be great for just recognition of the game and just kind of in general. Obviously in America, it gets a little bit less attention than obviously overseas in Europe, countries like in South America as well. But like, it'll be very important for us to have that here, kind of the vibe around the U.S.
Do you watch the pro soccer players in this country? Do you watch the Revolution and things of that nature? Is that something that appeals to you? Do you follow them?
Yeah, I'm a New York City FC fan because I'm from New York, but I also watch some Premier League soccer as well.
What's your major at Holy Cross?
Economics major.
And what do you hope to do with that when you graduate?
Well, I'm hoping to try and experience as whatever I can overseas with soccer after college, but I would love to maybe get into a job in the city or something like that around Boston, stay local.
Tell me a little bit about Owen.
You know, Owen is a strong-willed, energetic leader who, since his arrival at Holy Cross, has certainly put his stamp on the program. This year, as one of the captains, certainly carries that weight, and it really helps the group with direction, not only you know, from what the coaching staff provides, but certainly Owen and the rest of the captains follow and deliver that message. And you know, his discipline and determination certainly carries over and is contagious to the rest of his teammates.
Did you set goals for you and the team going into the season this year?
Absolutely. Every year I kind of do a individual and collective goal, like one for myself, one for the team. And I think that obviously building upon last year as a team, we wanted to obviously win the Patriot League and then advance as far as we can in the NCAA tournament. But just personally, I kind of wanted to just feel as comfortable as possible playing and not let a leadership role kind of take over the soccer aspect and kind of have a good balance with that.
How would you describe the personality of this year's team? Is it different than teams you've had in the past, or is it something that stands out about the team that we can talk about?
Yeah, certainly. I think this is the first year, and I've mentioned it before to others, this is the first year in my seventh year that we have a group without any type of outliers. You know, everybody's on the same page. Everybody is not only respectful, but everybody competes as hard as they work on the field and test each other. And as testy as it can get, they are all family and one off the field. So the respect amongst each other, but also the energy that it brings, you can only see this group getting more cohesive and closer, which we hope is going to help them as we move forward into the season, that they stick as a solid unit together.
Play Rhode Island tomorrow at Kingston, Rhode Island. Then you get into the Patriot League season a little later on. Where's the strength in the Patriot League?
That's a very good question. Certainly, the Patriot League over the years has had its favorites, at least in the preseason poll. But for the most part, if you look at the preseason poll and at the end of the season, usually that poll is turned upside down somehow.
Very often that happens.
Yeah, so there's no real, as much as there are potential favorites on paper, in reality it shows that no matter who you are in preseason, that doesn't guarantee you anything at the end of the race.
You play some pretty impressive non-conference teams. You got Boston College, Northeastern, then you get into UMass Lowell and Northeastern. Pretty impressive, tough schedule to get ready for the Patriot League.
Absolutely. We're trying to play as strong a schedule out of conference as possible. That way we come in Patriot League ready to go. We're playing our best soccer when it counts.
Tell me about your 4 years at Holy Cross, the experience overall, not just playing soccer, but what's it been like? What's it meant to you?
It's been an absolute privilege to play on the soccer team as well as just be a member of the student body here at Holy Cross. I've met some of the friends that I'll have forever the rest of my life, and it's a privilege to lead the team this year and just be a part of that.
Tell me about the recruiting process that brought you to Holy Cross.
It was a little bit crazy. I didn't have an offer from Holy Cross going into my senior year, and then I kind of met with one of our former assistant coaches at a Dartmouth camp, and he brought me up to the school. I kind of fell in love with it, and from there on I committed late. Early in my senior year, and then I was our last commit for our class.
Pretty easy to fall in love with a school like this, isn't it,
yeah.
Coach? It's easy to recruit because, especially now at the new indoor facility at the Luth Athletic Complex, that is a little feather in everybody's cap.
Yeah, I think it's, anybody, when they come to Holy Cross, not only to walk on our soccer field or grass field, everybody loves playing on the grass field. It's probably arguably one of the best grass fields in the Northeast. Now to come up to the Luth Athletic Complex, John Luth, a former soccer alum, providing us with that opportunity. And now, together with the leadership of Nate Pine and his senior staff, I think we're in a very good spot. We have the resources. And, again, Holy Cross is a place that everybody loves to be at.
Head men's soccer coach Marco Kuhlman and co-captain Owen Azrak of the men's soccer team, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
We will take a break. We're going to come back and talk women's soccer as we continue on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads at the Hogan Center on Holy Cross campus in Worcester right after this on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
Holy Cross students and Crusaders fans, when on Mount St. James enjoying games or on the road following your favorite Crusaders teams, make sure to quench your thirst and refuel with Pepsi, Gatorade, Mountain Dew Kickstart, and Starbucks products, all of which are available in the Luth Athletic Complex, all over campus on the College of the Holy Cross, and in stores everywhere. Pepsi, delicious, refreshing Pepsi, the proud official soft drink of Holy Cross Crusaders Athletics. Go Crusaders!
The Hilton Garden in Worcester is the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics. Located in the heart of downtown Worcester at 35 Major Taylor Boulevard, next to the DCU Center, Hilton Garden Inn allows you to sleep deep, work smart, eat well, stay fit, and treat yourself with satisfaction guaranteed. Whether you're looking to book a space for your next business meeting or are in town watching the Crusaders, book your stay at the Hilton Garden Inn Worcester. Call today 508-753-5700. Hilton Garden in Worcester, the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics.
It's time. Time to join the millions of people that meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Zoom gives you flawless video, crystal clear audio, and instant sharing across any mobile, tablet, or desktop device. But the best thing about Zoom? It just works. So ditch the distractions, join the movement, and meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. That's Zoom.us, Zoom video conferencing.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we're back at Crossroads in the Hogan Center at Holy Cross in Worcester, talking Holy Cross women's soccer now with head coach, I had it here a minute ago, Casey Brown. Lily Pucha. Don't want to forget that. I had my notes here all scrambled up here.
No worries.
Casey Brown is in her third year as the head coach of the Holy Cross women's soccer team.
Yep.
Give me the brief, abridged version of the first 2 years.
Yeah, I think the first 2 years have been about laying a culture and a foundation that we're proud of and that we feel like is why we're in the position we're in now in year three. So it's been laying a foundation for us to be a championship side and for us to be successful. So it's a lot of, how we want to train, how we want to do things, what we want to be about, and who we are. And we've, in the past 2 years, spent a lot of time moving the dial that much closer to create the foundation for a championship program. And this year, we feel like we're another step closer to that.
You came to us from the hated Boston University Terriers.
Yeah.
Hated, and, of course, the Turnpike Trophy.
Sure.
Always on the line when you play the Terriers. That'll come up later on this year. You're 2-3 so far this year. A loss to Providence, an overtime loss to UNH, a win over Fordham here in Worcester, a loss to Hartford, and a 5-1 win over St. Peter's. That's an impressive win on Sunday. Tell us about the first five games of the season.
Yeah, I think we like where we are right now. Of course, I think the one that a lot of our players would probably tell you is the UNH one. I think we had that in the bag, and then unfortunately let it slip with, I think it was like 8 minutes to go. That's the one that you know, still kind of burns. But we really like where we are. I think we've gotten better every game. And I think as of late, we've been, you know, as you can see in the St. Peter's game, we found the back of the net. We're finding success, and we're building in the attack, which is a really great sign for the maturation of our team and program.
Makes it a lot easier when you score five goals,
doesn't it? Oh, it sure does, and it's more fun, right?
Yeah. Lily Pucha is a senior from Andover, Massachusetts. She joins us at the table now. Welcome, Lily, and tell us about your 4 years at Holy Cross.
Thanks. I've had the best 4 years. I'm not really looking forward to it ending. But I think Coach Brown spoke to the big culture change, and her coming in the spring of my freshman year was just an incredible change for the program, and I think the whole team can speak to where she, you know, she's brought it, and so that has been, you know, Plain Talker has been the best part of my time here. I've, you know, created so many great relationships, and it's helped me to grow as a person on and off the field, and I wouldn't change it for anything else.
Coach, tell me a little bit about Lily.
She's unbelievable. I think Lily epitomizes what our program's about, and that's someone who shows up every single day just trying to get better. And she gives you more than you ever could imagine that's in someone's tank, and she's a fighter and she's a worker. And on top of that, and I think this is what reflects in a lot of our kids, is she's a fantastic student athlete and young woman. And she's to see the growth from, as she mentioned, her freshman spring to now is unbelievable. As a coach, it's rewarding. She's a perfect epitome and representative of our program and what we want our student-athletes to be about.
Isn't that what coaching is about, though, to watch players develop over their time under your leadership and become players and women and move on and take all of that they've learned and use it in life as it goes on?
It is the most rewarding part of this job, is seeing the progression of all these young women throughout their time, and we really challenge them, and we really push them, and we hold them to a really high standards, and to see them progress, and Lily's saying yes in a big exclamation, to see them progress and to see how far they've come, not just on the field, but within their leadership, within their confidence, within who they are as a person. At the end of the day, when they graduate and they're confident young women, ready to attack whatever they want to attack, I'm feeling really good about the job we do here.
You've done your job at that point. You really haven't done it well. Five games under your belt this year, 2-3, as I mentioned, Lily. What's your perception of where the team stands right now and how the first five games went?
So I think we're in a really good spot right now. You know, we try and focus each game one at a time, and I think we're at a point where we're building continuously off each game. So, you know, when we win, we're not just satisfied with the win. We're trying to take something from that game, and can we get better for the next one. So I think heading into Thursday, we want to win, but we also want to do something better than we did in the last game. So what can we, you know, tweak to get better in our attack? How can we get less corners or less shots taken on us? But I think as a group, we've really come together this preseason, and, you know, I think we're going to peak right when it counts, and we're heading that way.
If you want to do better than you did the last game, that means you have to score six goals in the next game coming up. The ladies take on, it's Bryant. Yep. 7 o'clock Thursday night at Linda Johnson Smith Stadium here on campus. At 7 o'clock, admission and parking is free. For more information, visit GoHolyCross.com. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Marco Kuhlman, the men's coach.
Sure.
What's the state of women's college hockey right now as you see it in this country?
Yeah, women's college soccer is
It's okay.
You got a lot of sports juggling up here. Look at this. It's in a fantastic place. I mean, it's a really competitive across the club and youth platform. I mean, every young girl is playing soccer and trying to aspire to play at this Division I level. The thing that I've seen the most at the Division I level for women's college soccer is it used to be your UNC and no one was even close to it. Now you have your Power 5 conferences, but you've never seen more mid-major conferences competing and winning those big games than ever before. I think it speaks to the depth of our game across the country. I think it speaks to the different coaches that have taken over these programs. Women's soccer is in a very competitive and excellent state, and you can see that across our youth national teams, our women's national team, World Cup success, et cetera, et cetera.
Where do you find the most fertile areas to recruit?
I was hoping you'd ask me that. Where do we find the most fertile areas to recruit? I think you always draw, especially here at Holy Cross, there's a great regional draw, you know, with the Mass kids and the New York, New Jersey regional areas. But we've kind of started to tap into, you know, shout out, we got some Delaware here in the area. We have West Coast kids, and that's really started to pick up the the Southern California, the NorCal little niches. We've got a kid from Arizona. So we're trying to expand that West Coast because there's a lot of great California soccer out there. But I think at Holy Cross we'll always have a strong draw within the region, which is what we want.
Within the region, but you mentioned Arizona, California. How do you go out there and sell Holy Cross?
Yeah, we're everywhere across the country at all these different events. Now that the brand is even bigger, we try to present our program and what we're about. And when people have a desire to come to the East Coast, to come to a top academic institution like Holy Cross, and then we feel like we get to present what we're about, and kids really want that. That value the culture, that value the person over the player, and that value in education. Then we find the fit, and that's the kid that's right for us.
After the game Thursday against Bryant here in Worcester, you play at Brown, at Navy, and at Lafayette, three road games, then home to Boston University. Where's the strength in the Patriot League going to be this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's pretty well spread out. I think you've seen some of the typical big dogs lose some games and have some vulnerable areas or graduate some players that have had a lot of past success. I think the Patriot League is wide open more than ever. We like that. Again, people will doubt us. People can put us wherever they want to put us. We like that. We feel like it's wide open, and we're going to make our move here and get in the Patriot League tournament.
Lily Puccia, tell me about the decision-making process that led you to come to Holy Cross.
Yeah, so I had quite the sort of recruiting experience, and I actually got recruited under the previous head coach late into my junior year. It was actually fall.
I would have taken her anyway, just so you know.
Thanks. Fall of my senior year. It was actually my dad who was, like, I'm shouting him out right there, giving him the credit, who was really pushing Holy Cross.
Is he a Holy Cross alum?
No, he actually went to Fordham.
And that's why we were happy we beat them.
Yeah. But once I came on campus for my visit, I kind of just fell in love. It was hard to say no. It was just the whole atmosphere of the place. You know, I was watching people walk around and say hello to one another. I always thought I wanted to be at a big school, but I came here and it was just the right fit, and I knew it right away. And it's continued to prove that to me every day. So I'm happy this is where I'm at.
What's your major?
I'm an English major.
And what do you hope to do with it when you graduate?
I couldn't
just
tell
get a
you.
Job?
I did just get a job.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Everybody's goal when they graduate.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yep.
Do you have any aspirations for any particular field down the road? That's what I guess.
Yeah, I did. I got a job in finance in Boston for after graduation. But, so we'll see where that takes me. So.
Coach, how would you describe the personality of this year's team compared to other teams you've coached?
Yeah, this year's personality is really hungry. We've come in fitter than we've ever come in. Last year I thought we were pretty close. We're another level of cohesion and cohesiveness this year. And this group is hungry. The way we train is hungry. We train like we have a chip on our shoulder and we got something to prove, and we do. But seeing that on a day in and day out basis, this is it's a fun group. I've loved every second of training this group, being around. They're really awesome kids. I've truly loved it, but they're hungry, and I love that too.
Did you work you hard in the heat?
Yeah, yeah, but I coming in for preseason, like Coach said, this was, for my 4 years, the most fit I've ever seen anyone. You know, I tried to come in the most fit I could be, and we like the heat. We don't care what weather it is. You know, we came in ready to train, and we want to win this season, so.
Well, I hope you do, and I want you to get that six goals on Thursday night against Bryant here at Holy Cross. That's a Thursday night game on top of the hill, 7 o'clock. Everything is free parking, free admission. And hope you can join us. Casey Brown, head coach of the Holy Cross women's soccer team, and Lily Puccia, senior. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it very
Appreciate
much.
It.
I want to remind
Thank
you a couple
so
of things coming up. On Saturday, of course, it's the Holy Cross Boston College football game. 1 o'clock from Alumni Stadium in Chestnut Hill. Tom Kelleher and I will be on the air at 12:30 for the pregame show. And we're back here next Tuesday night at Crossroads at the Hogan Center for another Holy Cross Coaches Show. Hope you can join us then. For our producers here at the Crossroads, Kyle Coulter and Chris Boscherini, our producer back at Sports Radio 1440, WEEI, Kyle Carter. I'm Dick Lutz. Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night from Mount St. James.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.